This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. WCHL, 71 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly cloudy day, a 40% chance of showers this morning, and then scattered showers and thunderstorms predicted for this afternoon. Chance of it anyway. High today in the upper 80s, low tonight in the low 70s. Tomorrow, more of the same, hot and muggy weather. Well, the News and Observer is out with more accusations of wrongdoings of academic officials at Carolina, and this time it involves Jan Boxall, UNC faculty chair, and Aaron Keck joins us now on WCHL. And Aaron, what do you make of this latest report from the News and Observer?
Well, Ron, it's a long one. It's yet another in a round of stories that have been coming out from the NNO in the last several months or so about the ongoing scandal involving UNC athletics and specifically the African and Afro American Studies program. The specific allegation or the specific finding in the story today is that the faculty report that was written a while back to on the African and Afro American Studies program was effectively finished, and then faculty chair Jan Boxall saying, based on feedback that she had gotten from other faculty members, had asked for a couple of key passages to be removed right before that report was released, and these were passages that were removed according to the report from the NNO, basically for no other reason than to prevent NCAA investigators from having their ears peaked and coming back on campus. Specifically, the sentence that was removed, speaking about Deborah Crowder, who is the department assistant at the African and Afro American Studies Department, one of the two people who has been pegged as being essentially responsible for the whole thing. The sentence about her that was taken out of that final report indicated that she seems to have been an athletics supporter who is extremely close to personnel in athletics. That was the direct quote. And the article suggests that the reason why that sentence was taken out was because NCAA investigators are particularly interested in looking into schools that organize classes for the sole purpose of benefiting athletes. There are a couple of similar cases at other schools, and the article mentions Florida State and Auburn, where one school, Florida State, gets sanctioned after it comes out that athletes are classes are specifically designed for athletes. At Auburn, very similar thing happened, but there's no smoking gun evidence that athletes are not specifically designed to be benefited, and so there weren't any sanctions at all. So that's the gist of the article. The story is based on what is effectively a very brief exchange and a much longer, larger discussion about this faculty report. So not a lot of smoking gun evidence here, but just another indication in this, or just another report in this long, now 3 years old, ongoing scandal about the UNC athletics program.
And of course, every little thing that comes out that is another opportunity for a rehashing of everything else that we've heard over the last 3 years. So, you know, that probably is as damaging as much as anything else, just bringing it back into everybody's public consciousness for such a long time here at the beginning of the week. Aaron, while I have you here, I just want to ask your reaction to one other story in the news this morning, and that is North Carolina legislators have reached an agreement of this year's budget. It comes in at $20.6 billion. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, the budget is, I haven't had really a chance to look very closely at the budget, but it is a very long document, obviously. But again, agreement reached on that budget, and there will be some pretty significant cuts for programs that a lot of folks around Chapel Hill and Carborough like. UNC is going to take some pretty severe budget cuts. Obviously, K-12 education will take some pretty severe budget cuts. Chappell Carver schools, of course, just passing their budget already in anticipation of cuts, and they're going to have to take a close look at what the final product is and make some sense out of that. One little detail that doesn't appear to have been in the final budget is that the Horace Williams Airport will remain open. That was sort of bandied about as part of the budget talks, their requirement that the airport close in a very short period of time. That appears to have been removed from the final budget, but again, really preliminary report there because I haven't had a chance to take a very close look at it. But again, nothing too drastically removed from what we've already heard coming out of the State House and Senate. We're dealing with a lot of really significant budget cuts again this year.
Aaron Keck, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll continue to follow both these stories, of course, and you will hear more about it right here on WCHL. Have a good day.
Thanks,
That is Aaron Keck, and just kind of a recap of what we just talked about. Newly released emails show that Jan Boxall, UNC's Faculty Council Chair, asked colleagues to rewrite segments of an academic fraud report. That's according to the News and Observer. Dan Kane, writer for the NNO, alleges that Boxall did this to lessen the likelihood of further NCAA investigations. As the elected faculty leader, Boxall is one of UNC's top academic officers. Emails sent by Boxall show that just before the report's release on July 26th of last year, Boxall sent the three faculty report writers a last-minute correspondence, suggesting that they edit a sentence that alluded to a department manager creating made-up classes to protect athletes' eligibility to play sports. That department manager, Deborah Crowder, that, according to Kane, campus emails are public record. The report authors agree to it. Some information was left out of the final version. Now, in email messages to the NNO, Boxall said she only passed along the suggestions of others and did not identify who provided them. WCHL's calls and an email to Boxall were not returned Sunday. We hope we'll speak with her later today. Leaders in the North Carolina House and Senate announced on Sunday they've reached agreement on a $20.6 billion budget that will end teacher tenure and allow taxpayer money to be spent for private school tuition. That's one facet of the program that has a lot of people upset. Both chambers have previously passed their own spending plans, but Republican leaders wrangled for weeks to come to a consensus, even as the July 1 start of the 2013-2014 fiscal year came and went. Lawmakers are expected to vote on the compromise budget in the next week or so. The budget increases overall state spending by 2.5% while instituting tax cuts for corporations and individuals. The plan scraps the long-standing teacher tenure system in favor of employing educators on contracts that are renewed based on performance reviews. The budget would also allow families that meet income guidelines to get state money to pay private school tuition starting in 2014. State spending on Medicaid is increased by $1.5 billion to cover what Republicans term as cost overruns. A special provision would allow the McCrory administration to develop a Medicaid reform plan in the coming months. The budget also supports McCrory's plan for overhauling the North Carolina Highway Trust Fund, which prioritizes and pays for transportation infrastructure projects over the next 10 years. The plan restores funding that had previously been cut for 69 positions within the state highway patrol, as well as another 22 magistrates and 175 probation and parole officers. The budget meets the state's obligation to fund the state retirement system and state health plan while providing state employees with 5 additional days of leave. The release makes no mention of any raise for state employees whose salaries had remained largely stagnant for years. The release also said living victims of a state-sponsored eugenics program that ended in the 1970s will get a one-time compensation payment, but it didn't say how much that payment will be. Protesters are set to gather for the 12th Moral Monday in Raleigh today to rally for voter rights. That's what they say the focus will be on today. 101 people got arrested last week, bringing the running total to more than 800 since the peaceful demonstrations began in late April. Though the arrest totals fluctuate from week to week, the number of protest attendees continues to grow. Movement leader and NAACP state chapter president Reverend William Barber says Republican lawmakers are purposely passing legislation to make it harder for people to vote. Senate Republicans unveiled a new voter ID bill last week that would limit the forms of photo ID accepted at the polls. The new measure would require voters to show one of seven types of photo identification issued by the government, such as driver's licenses, passports, non-driver IDs, and military or veteran cards. It's more restrictive than the House version, as it would eliminate cards from UNC system colleges, state community colleges, local governments, private employers, and law enforcement agencies as acceptable forms of photo identification. If it passed, it would take full effect in the 2016 elections. However, the House is not expected to agree to the changes. This will likely cause last-minute debate, as lawmakers hope to adjourn session by the end of next week. Moral Monday meets at 5 p.m. today on the lawn of Halifax Mall. WCHL News Time, 7:17, 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic report brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with that great chewy ice, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly this morning. I-40, 15501, NC-54 in the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the all-new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. 71 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 70 in Carborough, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers this morning, and scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s, tonight mostly cloudy with a big chance of rain, partly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain, up until about midnight, and then a 20% chance of rain after that, overnight low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm, and the high tomorrow about 90 degrees, so same kind of really hot, muggy weather for at least another day. No changes in sight there.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
It is 7:19, 19 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. If you've ever wondered what your fellow North Carolinians think about John Edwards, the New York Times and Judicial Oversight public policy polling has you covered. In its recent survey of North Carolina voters, PPP found that 67% of residents say they would never vote for former Senator John Edwards of Chapel Hill again. Senator Edwards, who was once the Democratic Party's vice presidential candidate, received backlash after it was revealed that he had a lengthy affair while his wife had cancer. Jim Williams, a polling analyst with PPP, explains why Senator Edwards can do so poorly here in North Carolina, while other scandal-riddled politicians like former U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner and former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer can continue their political life. Williams says that not only do states like New York have a different moral tolerance than North Carolina, but Senator Edwards himself was held in higher esteem in his home state.
He was sort of representing North Carolina on the national stage before he had his fall from grace. So I think there's a certain level of embarrassment among North Carolinians when it comes to John Edwards.
On the subject of embarrassment, PPP also asked North Carolinians how you feel about the New York Times. While this was not included in the question, the New York Times editorial board ran a piece recently titled "The Decline of North Carolina." That was on July 9th, criticizing the General Assembly. Williams says that while the survey found an almost even split between people who favored, disfavored, and had no opinion to the paper, he says the ideological split the poll found between Democrats who favored it and Republicans who disfavored it is likely no different anywhere else in the country.
Sort of has a reputation of being favored and enjoyed by liberals and dismissed and disliked by conservatives.
Support among North Carolinians for expanded background checks is at 78%. While incredibly high, the level of support for background checks in the state is actually lower than in previous polls, which Williams says is a result of issues dealing with gun control not being in the news lately.
That's just simply a function of time passing since a major gun tragedy, a major shooting somewhere in the United States, but still overwhelming support.
Another issue that a majority of North Carolina stand together on at 52% is the Supreme Court overturning Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act with majority displeasure across party lines. Williams says this support for the VRA, the Voting Rights Act, comes from its storied history.
People see that as a cornerstone of the civil rights movement, and you're not going to see too many people who say that they don't agree with what the civil rights movement is trying to do.
Congress is currently taking up Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act and seeing if it can be rewritten to comply with the Supreme Court's decision. But Williams says that with a level of discord in both the House and Senate, it's unlikely that it will get passed anytime soon. WCHL News Time, 7:22, 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Family Medicine. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Your local football stars met with the media and other ACC players on Sunday for the ACC kickoff in Greensboro. Football season is 38 days away now. Quarterback Bryn Renner is getting ready for his final season with the Tar Heels. He sat down with the ACC Digital Network to discuss last year's successes and the pressures of the second year under the leadership of Coach Larry Fedora and his fast-paced offense. Renner said the offseason has provided a chance to review the flaws in which the team can improve on its 8-4 result from last season.
We found a lot of things we can get better by watching film. We can improve on our tempo and things like that, but going back, it was a great season for us, but we're looking forward to the opportunities that we have this year.
One thing Carolina adds back this year is its ability to play in the postseason. Tar Heels' one-year postseason ban is lifted, although sanctions are not completely finished. This year's recruiting class was the first of two in which Coach Fedora and his staff had five fewer scholarships to use when choosing Carolina's future stars. The game that begins the 2013 season, again just 38 days away, is one against one of the best. It's an ACC-SEC matchup that pits North Carolina versus South Carolina. Tar Heels travel down to Columbia on Thursday night, August 29th, to face the old ball coach Steve Spurrier in the Gamecocks. Renner said he's excited about the matchup and that it's a great way to see just where Carolina is at the beginning of the season.
Looking forward to the opportunity to compete against the best. They're a top 10 team with the best player in the country. We're going to see where we stack up bright and early.
To hear these and all the comments from the Carolina play caller, you can view this story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Katrina Dowd and Amber Falcone helped the U.S. women's national team complete a record-breaking run at the Federation of International Lacrosse World Cup, defeating Canada 19-5 on Saturday to claim a seventh world title. Dowd, entering her second season as a UNC assistant coach, had 3 goals and 2 assists to push her tournament total to 36 points, trailing only teammate Lindsay Mundy's 37 back in 2009. Dowd's second goal at 2:14 in the first half vaulted her past U.S. record holder Quinn Carney in 2005 for most goals in a World Cup tournament. In what was her first World Cup tournament, Dowd finished with 26 goals. Falcone, a 2009 Carolina graduate, joined Dowd on the FIL All-World team, along with fellow Americans Lindsay Mundy, Katie Rowan, Sarah Albrecht, and Devin Wills. UNC alum Kristen Carr and Jen Reynolds started for the started for the USA on defense once again. Rising Tar Heel senior Abby Friend started for Canada and had an assist. Former UNC star Katie Brooks also started for the Canadians. And former UNC goalkeeper Kristen Horty came off the bench to play more than 22 minutes in the cage for Canada, making 6 saves. The full story on the Tar Heels in international lacrosse play, you can view it on our website at chapelboro.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The latest News and Observer report does not look good for Jan Boxall or Roy's basketball program. This is our Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. There are several ways to digest the latest front page story in the NNO, in which emails revealed that faculty chairman Jan Boxall recommended the name of the administrative assistant to deposed AFAM chairman Julius Nyongoro be left out of the faculty report on academics and athletics. The first reaction of the public, including some UNC alumni and fans, is that Boxall, a former women's basketball coach who is very close to the athletic department, did not want to implicate Deborah Crowder because that would also implicate the men's basketball program. Crowder, who is retired and has refused to speak to anyone, is the 30-year girlfriend of former Tar Heel hooper Warren Martin. Those who believe men's basketball is the sacred cow on campus are going to have a field day with this one, calling it the smoking gun that shows basketball players also took the aberrant or bogus classes in the AFEM department dating back to the 1990s. With perception and appearances so important these days to save what is left of the UNC brand, one can certainly understand that opinion. But the mere fact that Crowder, Nianguro, and no basketball players have said a word, and no faculty members have any proof that this was in fact a cover-up, Boxall was probably doing the right thing to protect her university. Look, the last thing we need is for the NCAA to come back on campus to continue a probe we are trying to put in the rearview mirror. Without any new facts, simply linking Crowder to Martin and allowing people to deduce that some basketball players were being placed into these easy B courses where little or no work was required, well, that's the most irresponsible thing Boxall could have done. And so, believing all that was only hearsay, Boxall made a wise suggestion at the time, and the faculty agreed. If indefatigable proof comes out later, which will be very hard to come by at this late date, then the Crowder-Martin connection can indict basketball. But why throw a secretary and a former basketball player who has been a career elementary school teacher in Chapel Hill under the bus needlessly? That doesn't mean the 74-year-old Boxall won't lose her position or be eased into retirement, or that Roy Williams won't factor all this into the P.J. Hearson decision. But right now, it's still so much more about perception and appearances than it is about substance, even if the story won't go away. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Did you know vehicle registration and taxes are processed separately? First, you receive a notice and then pay the vehicle registration. 3 months later, you receive a notice and pay your vehicle tax. From now on, the DMV will send a new combined notice that includes the vehicle registration and the vehicle tax, which will be due at the same time. For more information about changes to the vehicle registration process, please contact the Orange County Tax Office at 919-245-2100.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Did you know there's a state-of-the-art community college right here in Orange County? Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, and I invite you to find out why our enrollment is soaring and our class offerings are up 70% since last year. Our campus is green and sustainable with well-equipped classrooms, science labs, computer labs, and a spacious library, all designed to provide a first-class education. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL, your Chapel Hill cover of weather, presented by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble today if you're looking for an engagement ring. Such a special purchase, maybe once in a lifetime. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you, and they will help. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza next door to Whole Foods. It is 72 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 71 in Carrboro, 71 also in Hillsborough this morning. Mostly cloudy today, 40% chance of showers this morning, and scattered showers and thunderstorms predicted for the afternoon, chance of it anyway. High today in the upper 80s, another hot, muggy day. Tonight, more of the same kind of weather, 60% chance of rain with a low in the low 70s. And then tomorrow, hot and muggy with a high tomorrow, about 90 degrees.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Barrett, a London hospital now the center of attention. Kate has checked in. For details, we're live with correspondent Vicki Barker.
Kate. Kate and William managed to avoid the cameras. They drove up to the hospital's back door without a police escort in the early morning hours here. The palace has confirmed Kate is in labor and that labor is proceeding normally. So apparently no cesarean is planned. It seems this very modern young royal couple is just letting nature take its course, Dave.
Vicky, when the royal baby is born, how will the public be informed? It's a bit of an involved process, right?
Well, first the doctors sign a declaration certifying the baby's birth, gender, vital statistics. A royal messenger then rushes it to the Queen, and only then will the written announcement be pinned to an easel set up outside Buckingham Palace. Only then do we learn if the newest heir to the British throne is a boy or a girl. Either way, the news will be marked by a 62-gun salute from the Tower of London, Dave.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. 74 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly cloudy today, 40% chance of showers and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today about 88 degrees. Newly released emails show that Jan Boxall, UNC's faculty council chair, asked colleagues to rewrite segments of an academic fraud report, according to the News and Observer. Dan Kane, writer for the NNO, alleges that Boxall did this to lessen the likelihood of further NCAA investigations. As the elected faculty leader, Boxall is one of UNC's top academic officers. Emails sent by Boxall show that just before the report's release on July 26th of 2012, Boxall sent the three faculty report writers a last-minute correspondence. She suggested they edit a sentence that alluded to a department manager creating made-up classes to protect athletes' eligibility to play sports. Kane reports campus emails are public record. The report authors agreed to it. Some information was left out of the final version. That department manager that we're talking about is Deborah Crowder. In email messages to the NNO, Boxall said she only passed along the suggestions of others and did not identify who provided them. WCHL's calls and an email to Boxall have not been returned. Leaders in the North Carolina House and Senate announced on Sunday that they have reached agreement on a $20.6 billion budget that will end teacher tenure and allow taxpayer money to be spent for private school tuition. Both chambers had previously passed their own spending plans, but Republican leaders wrangled for weeks to come to a consensus, even as the July 1st start of the 2013-2014 fiscal year came and went. Lawmakers are expected to vote on the compromise budget in the coming week. The budget increases overall state spending by 2.5% while instituting tax cuts for corporations and individuals. The plan scraps the long-standing teacher tenure system in favor of employing educators on contracts that are renewed based on performance reviews. The budget would also allow families that meet income guidelines to get state money to pay private school tuition starting in 2014. State spending on Medicaid is increased by $1.5 billion to cover what Republicans term as cost overruns. A special provision would allow the McCrory administration to develop a Medicaid reform plan in the coming months. It is not specific. The budget also supports McCrory's plan for overhauling the North Carolina Highway Trust Fund, which prioritizes and pays for transportation infrastructure projects over the next 10-year period. The plan restores funding that had been previously cut for 69 positions within the State Highway Patrol, as well as another 22 magistrates and 175 probation and parole officers. The budget meets the state's obligation to fund the state retirement system and state health plan while providing state employees with five additional days of leave. The release makes no mention of any raise for state employees whose salaries have remained largely stagnant for years. The release also said living victims of a state-sponsored eugenics program that ended back in the 1970s will get a one-time compensation payment, but it did not say how much that payment will be. Protesters are set to gather for the 12th Moral Monday in Raleigh today to rally for voter rights. That will be the focus this week. 101 people were arrested last week, bringing the running total to more than 800 arrests since a peaceful demonstration started in late April. Though the arrest totals fluctuate from week to week, the number of protest attendees continues to grow larger and larger. Movement leader and NAACP state chapter president Reverend William Barber says Republican lawmakers are purposely passing legislation to make it harder for people to vote. Senate Republicans unveiled a new voter ID bill last week that would limit the forms of photo identification accepted at the polls. The new measure would require voters to show one of seven types of photo ID issued by the government, such as driver's licenses, passports, non-driver IDs, and military or veteran cards. It's more restrictive than the House version, as it would eliminate cards from UNC system colleges, state community colleges, local governments, private employers, and law enforcement agencies as acceptable forms of photo ID. If passed, it would take full effect in the 2016 elections. However, the House is not expected to agree to the changes. This will likely cause last-minute debate, as lawmakers hope to adjourn session by the end of next week. Moral Monday meets at 5 p.m. today on the lawn of Halifax Mall. You may have noticed a lot of new faces in town this past year. That's because Chapel Hill's Visitors Bureau reported an increase in tourism to the town. Director of the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau, Lori Policelli, says that June was one of the best months the town has had in years, with hotel occupancy up 12%.
We ended June with a 77% occupancy, which is startling and amazing on many levels, because in the past, June has really been what we refer to as part of the shoulder season. This area really follows a traditional academic year, and June has typically been slower.
Policelli attributes a number of different factors to June's high numbers, including the return to the Carolina Inn and a meeting held by a Wisconsin healthcare technology company. In fact, she says meetings and business conferences are now a major target of the Visitors Bureau, devoting a 200% budget increase in that type of outreach.
We buy lists, we do direct sales, we do online advertising and marketing, we attend trade shows, we ask for the business. We're a very traditional sales agency.
Policelli says the Visitors Bureau expects similar increases in visitation in July and August. When I mentioned the return to the Carolina Inn, I meant they were closed for a brief time for renovations. Social media has revolutionized the way many of us interact with each other. UNC student Taylor Robinette has an idea in the works, which he says will combine your online social network with your real-life interactions. As part of our weekly series on young entrepreneurs, Bevy, Robinette's startup is this week's featured venture from the business incubator Launch Chapel Hill. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Right now I feel like there's your social network and then there's like your actual network. And this kind of blurs the lines between the two and makes it so that you don't never have to add anybody again. There's no like searching for people and then sending an accept or deny friend request.
Robinette, at just 19 years old, already has $110,000 in the bank from investors, another $90,000 pledged, and hopes to raise another $500,000 in the next couple of months. The first version of Bevy is set to launch in October, just before he turns 20. It will be available to students at UNC, Duke, and NC State. Robinette designed Bevy to be an improved alternative to Facebook. It's a mobile, location-based social network through iOS and Android cell phone apps. It will track your offline interactions and try to mimic them online by seeing who you spend your time with.
So the way this would work, an example I always use is if you go to a party or a gathering, everybody there would be added to your network at a base level. So without you having to search for them, they would automatically be in your network. And you'd see maybe their profile picture, their name, and where they work or where they go to school.
If you hit it off with someone and begin spending more time together, you will get more access to their network. If you never see the person again, they will then drop out of your network.
So it's kind of creating this idea of a dynamic, constantly changing social network.
Robinette currently has a development team of seven under him. Post-launch, he has high hopes for the future of Bevy.
We'll probably look to raise another $10 to $15 million at the 8 to 12-month mark. And at that point, that will allow us to pay full salaries for a full staff.
The Maryland native says he has always aimed at becoming an entrepreneur. As just a freshman in high school, he had the idea that social media could be better, so he started a social networking site. In the first month, the site had 250,000 members. Robinette explains the networking connections and resources Launch offers has helped accelerate his startup.
So I got here and really took advantage of Jim Kitchen, Ted Zoller, all the great people here in the business school, and through them met my lead investor, who started us off with $75,000 and kind of led the way for the first round of funding.
Robinette says the efforts of Launch and its feeder and fellow incubator 1789 are reinvigorating the entrepreneurial community in Chapel Hill.
That's one of the reasons why I decided to go to school instead of just move out to the Silicon Valley and try to start my company, is to create a better entrepreneurial culture elsewhere besides the Valley. This, and then also working with university people to try to make UNC more attractive to young entrepreneurs, I think is really important and cool.
For more information on Bevy and Launch Chapel Hill, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. It is 74 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little muggy today. It's going to be that way for the next few days anyway. Nothing new there. Rand Northam joins me now out of the newsroom. And Rand, I know that lots of activity this morning, not only in the newsroom, but also on our website, chapelboro.com.
Our chapelboro.com website, a flurry of information for you. Jeff Danner has a new science column up on backpacking. He's a frequent writer of chapelboro.com. He also talks about what a calorie actually is and some interesting common misunderstandings with the topic. A lot of calorie counters out there, so you'll want to read that and check out what he's talking about. He'll be also joining Aaron Keck today on the WCHL Afternoon News at 4:40 today.
I always feel smarter after Jeff stops talking.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy, and we appreciate him adding to our great talent here at the website and as well on the air as well. Jordan Rogers has a piece up about Kraft sodas and how they fit into the health food movement as well, so you'll want to check that out. And voting for the short list, the best place to dine outside. It's been a hot topic. It's still up and running on our website, chapelboro.com. Remember to sign up for the chapelboro.com newsletter to get exclusive short list information. You can't get it anywhere else except for as a newsletter subscriber. So lots of information up there and lots more than we can even mention here this morning on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, thanks so much. Steve Deer's commentary is on the way next on WCHL, 7:43, 17 minutes until 8 o'clock.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
You know, getting older isn't easy. Chronic pain, balance issues, driving after dark. These are the challenges seniors face every day. At Home Instead Senior Care, we understand these battles and why they're so important to you. We're not babysitters or maids, nurses or taxi drivers. We are caregivers, dedicated to helping you maintain your independence. At Home Instead Senior Care, we know the battles you're facing. Call us at 919-933-3300 and find out why at Home Instead Senior Care, to us, it's personal.
I'm Gerald Vermoyne, General Manager of Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. I talk a lot about the performance promise, so I want to clearly define what that means. Number one, value. We will do whatever it takes to earn and keep your business. Case in point, 2013 Subaru leases start at $159 per month, such as a 2013 Subaru Impreza 2.0i. Wow! With interest rates as low as 0% for up to 60 months on select 2013 Subarus, July is truly a month to add a Subaru to your family. Number two, service. I'm not just talking about run-of-the-mill customer service. I'm talking about customer enthusiasm. Number three, people. Our staff is dedicated to earning your respect, your loyalty, and most of all, your enthusiasm. Visit our virtual showroom at PerformanceSubaru.com.
D3569, DJA01, 36-month lease, 10,000 miles per year, $25.99 total due at signing. Includes $500 lease cash and zero security deposit based on MSRP of $18,665. And selling price of $17,999. Financing with approved credit. See dealer for details. Take delivery before July 30th, 2013. Subaru offers one of the most fuel-efficient all-wheel drive vehicles in America. Test drive yours today at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill.
So why wait? It's Christmas in July.
Hi, this is Freddie Kiger, and you're listening to WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz, North Carolina Association of Broadcasters, Personality of the Year.
Oh, thank you, Freddie. 7:45. 15 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Steve Deere. Don't you love WCHL's Hometown Heroes? You're driving along all stressed out about something, and then you hear about someone in our community who's been doing something good, something decent for somebody, and ultimately for all of us. Well, my nominee for one of our all-time Hometown Heroes is Chris Moran. Chris is retiring after working at the Interfaith Council for Social Service for the past 30 years and as executive director for the past 17 years. This morning, I walked into the Interfaith Council's building in downtown Carrboro. That's where my office at People of Faith Against the Death Penalty is located. Like every morning for over a decade, I walked past people gathered at the entrance of the building. They're mostly folks with jobs, but who are struggling. They line up patiently for food, for help with a power bill, for help with a job search, or in need of a social worker. They line up for hope. Some will be back. Some will be able to move on. I don't recall the exact numbers, but what the dedicated and smart IFC staff and the local volunteers and congregations who support the IFC have done since 1963 is an amazing feat, serving hundreds of thousands of meals, providing a roof and a warm bed to thousands. The IFC's newest programs for our community include Project Homestart for homeless women and children, the new Community House for homeless men, the proposed Food First Center, which will combine the community kitchen and the food pantry, and the Robert Nixon Free Clinic for the Homeless, which now include a mental health clinic. By doing all of this, Chris and the IFC have saved lives and given so much hope. They have taught our community that we are all lifted up when we affix our eyes upon and stand with those who have been left marginalized and without. Thank you, Chris Moran and the IFC, for your devotion to everyone in our community. Chris Moran, the hero of our hometown. This is Steve Deere.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Erin Cullum. There's been some debate about the pronunciation of one of the main streets in Chapel Hill. We hit the streets to find out how you say it. Estes Drive or Estes Drive?
My name's Rebecca Christendary, and I live in Chapel Hill. I say Estes Drive.
Ryan Lynch, I live in Chapel Hill, and it's pronounced Estes.
Hi, this is Karen. I'm from Chapel Hill, and I say Estes Drive.
My name's Casey. I live in Carrboro, and I say Estes.
Belinda Hooker, Estes Drive. I live in Chapel Hill.
My name is Claire. I live in Chapel Hill, and I say Estes.
How do you say it? Estes Drive or Estes Drive?
My name is John Greifenberger. I live in Chapel Hill, and I believe the way you pronounce Estes is Estes.
My name is Tyler Scott. I live in Chapel Hill, and I say Estes.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm in Chapel Hill, and I would say Estes.
My name is Hannah, and I live in Chapel Hill, and I say Estes Drive.
Sharon. I'm in Chapel Hill for the day, and I pronounce it Estes.
I'm Callie. I live in Chapel Hill, and I say Estes Drive.
My name is Tim Jones. I live in Chapel Hill, and I say Estes Drive. That's what I've said all my life, pretty much.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
My name is Ron Stutz. I live in Chapel Hill for the last 36 years, and I've always said Estes. I thought that was correct. 7:49 at WCHL, 11 minutes until 8 o'clock. Traffic and weather together, your word of the day, clean joke of the day, and today's WCHL Hometown Hero, all coming up next.
When the weather is fine, the garden and patio at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop in downtown Carrboro is the place to be. Meet your friends for a delicious lunch amid fragrant spring flowers, or enjoy dinner in a bottle of wine or the perfect cocktail on a warm, moonlit Carolina night. Find contemporary American cooking, intriguing wines from around the world, both on the Glass Half Full patio, the place to be in Carrboro any time of day. Glass Half Full, the optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
All righty then, time now for traffic and weather together at WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Ran Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Estes or Estes Drive? Well, it looks like that area is moving smoothly right now. NC 54 eastbound between 15501 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing a little bit of a delay. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. I-40, 15501, NC 54 elsewhere, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, we'll be sure to give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
I've always thought it was Estes, you know, but apparently I'm in the minority from the people that we talk to.
Well, it's not a PPP poll, but
I guess not.
A poll nonetheless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather, presented by the Carolina Inn. Join with the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menus, specials, and hours available at CarolinaInn.com. Don't forget Fridays on the front porch, Friday starting at 5 p.m. 74 degrees, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers this morning, then scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and the low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, more of the same, partly sunny, hot and muggy, 40% chance of rain and the high of about 90 degrees. 7:52, 8 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Wang Pond with the word of the day. Good morning, sir.
Is this Ron Stutz?
Oh, don't start with me. Come on.
Well, speaking of variations in pronunciation, oh, it's just meant to be, as my wife would say. Here is a word that offers a couple of variations in pronunciation. The word of the day is, well, let me give you version number one, hagiocracy. Hagiocracy. All right?
All right.
And the second version would be hagiocracy. Hagiocracy. H-A-G-I-O-C-R-A-C-Y. H-A-G-I-O. There's the hagio part.
Mm-hmm.
C-R-A-C-Y. Hagiocracy. In fact, the wordsmith goes so far as to say that you can even pronounce this word hagiocracy. So, Ron Stutz, take your pick.
I think I'll go with hagiocracy.
All right. Do you know the meaning of the word of the day? It is a noun, by the way, and it's about government. About government, particular forms of government.
No clue. No clue, but I bet you're
going to
relate it to the North Carolina legislature in some way.
Oh, believe me, Ron, it has nothing to do with that band of fools in Raleigh. A government by holy persons. A government run by people who are sanctified, elevated, glorified, celestialized, up there with Ron Stutz. You know?
Oh, yeah.
All right, are you happy with the word of the day?
Yeah, I like that. I like
that. Hey, I'll see you down on Estes Estes Drive.
All right, you got it, buddy.
Bye.
I see you in Chatham or Chatham County. 7:54 WCHL, 6 minutes away from 8 o'clock. Word of the day on WCHL brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Oh, my goodness, I'm feeling really silly. That's why we asked Lauren Stafford to come in here.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look all bright and happy today.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a change?
That's a great
change of pace.
Great new outfit. Haven't seen that before. You look good in paisley.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks.
And that hat.
I thought I'd match the drapes.
The hat really sets it off.
Yeah. You and my hats. You're so fun.
Yeah.
With the hats.
Well,
I think I need to get you a matching hat.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'll look forward to that.
I think you could pull off a hat. You're a hat kind of guy.
I can probably pull off a hat just like that. You know?
Oh.
That's like a tip of the hat to you. But I'm not wearing
Listen,
one.
I'm the one telling the clean jokes.
That's
here,
problem.
Right?
Okay.
Don't steal my day job.
Okay, sorry. I don't want to steal your thunder.
My thunder, that's right. All right, so we have another joke from Pete. This time, not a Duke joke.
Uh-huh.
Just a regular joke.
Well, diversifying a little
bit. That's right. So it seems three university students, Sean from Elon, Michael from NC State, and Tim from Duke. Okay, maybe this is a Duke joke.
Probably going to end up being, yeah.
Passed away all at the same time. There's a theme to his jokes. I'm starting to pick this up.
He's an academic joke talker.
Yeah, exactly. Upon encountering the pearly gates, they were met by St. Peter himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he addressed the boys and said, "Lads, I'm here to welcome you to heaven, where you will spend eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember one thing. When you go through these gates, don't step on any of the ducks, or you'll be punished for eternity. Sean from Elon went in first and was amazed to see that the entire landscape was encompassed by ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And try as he might, sure enough, he stepped on one.
Mm-hmm.
He was immediately joined by one of the homeliest co-eds he's ever laid eyes on. And she said, "Well, love, you stepped on a duck, and now we're together for all time." And of course, the exact same thing happened to Michael from NC State. Only his companion was even more worse for wear.
Oh, God. I'm glad you're telling this joke, not me. Because I'd get in trouble for it.
Yeah, I'm having to be very careful. By this time, Tim, the dookie, was absolutely terrified. And he gingerly managed to make it most of the way across the court without stepping on a single duck.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, his arm was taken by a young lass. Tim looked over and beheld the most beautiful, graceful, blue-eyed woman he's ever seen in all his life. He gasped, "I don't understand it." The young beauty replied, "Well, I'm sure I don't either. I was walking along, minding my own business, when all of a sudden, I stepped on a duck."
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Allison Savage is just one of the many volunteers who work for Independent Animal Rescue, taking care of dogs and cats that are up for adoption. Allison says it's quite a community of animal lovers.
I mean, we have people that we obviously recruit at all times that are helping to foster animals in their homes, and for later adoption, they go out and actually feed the feral animals in the community. They do education programs. They help other volunteers. So it is a very tightly woven group. And has been doing this fine work for over 18 years here. The animals are always being taken care of that we have, and they'll be placed in what we call forever homes as soon as we can get to other folks in the community.
Allison Savix is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. There's a very special event coming up for Independent Animal Rescue, and she wants you to know about it.
This is the community at its best. There's no pressure. It's just for animal lovers and the area artists coming together to help and support and care for the animals.
It's called the Independent Animal Rescue Painted Chair and More Auction. All proceeds go to support Independent Animal Rescue's animal welfare programs, which include foster care and adoption and spay and neuter of free-roaming and companion animals all over the Triangle.
This is the 11th year we'll be doing this auction, and it is our signature event for the entire year. It's a very, very important fundraiser for us. IAR is a very dedicated group of over 100 unpaid volunteers that rescue, foster, and place and adopt homeless and abandoned and abused animals in the Triangle. We've been here now for 18 years, and this year alone we've rescued and adopted over 700 cats and dogs and over 1,300 spayed neuter of feral animals that are roaming around our area.
This big fundraiser happens July 27th from 5 until 9 p.m. at the American Legion Hall in Chapel Hill. And if you like more details, simply go to animalrescue.net. We're recognizing Allison Savix as today's WCHL Hometown Hero because of her work year-round as an IRA volunteer. Allison, congratulations and thank you for all you do.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development.